This meeting is now being recorded.
Now being recorded, and I think we start with roll call.
Yes, we do.
Great.
So, Judge Conklin.
Present.
Ms. Fleming. Judge Pope.
Here.
Judge Heinrich.
Here.
Ms. Carter.
Here.
Mr. Chatter.
Here.
Ms. Grimm.
No.
Mr. Lewis.
Here.
Mr. Planet. Mr. Roddy.
Here.
Ms. Ugrin Copa Bianco.
Here. Cool. Very good.
Okay. I think that completes the roll call for the meeting. We have all members present except.
I'm sorry.
Sam.
Oh, Sam, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mr. Hamlet.
Here.
There we go.
She was just heard you said my name. She's been practicing.
I had, actually.
She heard you don't pay attention. She
so just to be thorough, is
Thanks
there any committee member present or on the phone whose name was not called? Doesn't appear to be. So it looks like Mike Planet has not had a chance to join us on the phone, but we have started the meeting. So completing roll call, I'll quickly move to the approval of the minutes.
Can I give my opening message?
Sure.
Just as a reminder, this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. Members of the public can join the call via listen-only code, permitting them to join and leave at any time without notice or interruption. Please identify yourself prior to speaking for the benefit of all participating and listening to the meeting. We ask that you please place your phones on mute. We are not speaking to avoid background noise. Please do not place us on hold at any time during the meeting to avoid distractions caused by on-hold mute.
Okay, great. Excellent. Thank you. And now moving to the approval of the minutes. For those of you that have reviewed minutes, do we have a motion to approve?
This is Roddy. I'll move approval.
All right.
Second.
All right. Roddy moves. Cope seconds. Any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And I know I've been running under, starting this off, Rebecca, but we're both running this together, so I'm just doing administrative stuff. Mm-hmm. Next, moving to public comment. We do have two folks who want to make public comment today. It's an extremely full agenda, and while we typically limit public comment to 2 to 3 minutes, if there's no objection, I'm going to give it to 5 each, so they each have 5 minutes to make public comment. Whoever would like to go first, Mr. Finke signed up first, so all right, and who's ever keeping time, so I'm sure Chad will comply with that. Thanks.
Well, I'd be okay if I do it from here.
Wherever you're comfortable.
Mic, all right?
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm Chad Finke, the CEO of the Alameda Superior Court. I very much appreciate the opportunity to make public comment today. I don't know that I'll need the full 5 minutes. I just wanted to say trying to structure my remarks. So starting with why are we here today? And contrary to what some of you may think, we're actually not here to advocate for or urge adoption of the potential alternative funding methodology that we circulated a few weeks ago. We are here instead to ask that the members of this subcommittee, and we will be making a similar pitch tomorrow to the full committee, that you all consider what we have been referring to amongst ourselves at our court, at least, as a pause and study approach. And by pause and study, I mean essentially rather than move forward with the fifth year of WAFM implementation at the 50-50 level as of July 1, that we hold it at the 40-60 level that we had it at this year, and essentially, therefore, give each court the same allocation that we each got this year in the upcoming fiscal year. I'll talk more about that in just a second. Why are we bringing this to you now? Why is the time, in our view, right for this? To be quite candid, is because our court, and I think several other courts, most likely those like us who have been perennial donors for the 5 years of WAFM, we're sort of about to fly off the fiscal cliff, to use the parlance of a couple of years ago. We have our layoff plan in place that we will have to give notice of on June 1st to our unions, therefore implement on July 1. We've reduced our court services to a large extent over the course of the year. We're gearing up to reduce those even further as of July 1, so we're going to lessen the number of days we need traffic. We've just eliminated phone service in a lot of areas. We have a couple of community partners who have grants that they would like to partner on that we're going to have to say no to because we don't have the staff that would be required to carry out the grant requirements. So we're kind of, for us at least, it's critical time. We've seen multiple years of cuts, and as as I understand it, you know, I was not a CEO when Waffham was implemented. I was a counsel. But my understanding is that when Waffham was implemented, it was at least in part with the understanding or at least the hope that the governor would thereafter infuse a significant amount of new money into the branch. We haven't really seen that. We had a little bit of new money, but even that, because the new money all flows through Waffham, a number of courts didn't really benefit from it. And the new money, I think, certainly hasn't been where any of us would like to see. Without the new money, so I guess I should say, we are assuming, and I think it's the right assumption, and all of you probably have the same assumption, that what the governor said in January is likely going to be what we get in July. So we are assuming it's going to be the flat budget that we've seen. I hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm probably right. So with that in mind, you know, with no new money, this year of Waffham at the 50-50 level, it'll be pure cuts. There won't be any offset. So in prior years, with a little bit of new money coming in, courts like us, who are a big donor, our cut level has at least been offset somewhat by the new money. If there's no new money this year, as we suspect there will not be, it will be pure cuts. And so, again, that loops back into what I was saying earlier about, you know, the parade of horribles that we are looking at on July 1 if we do take additional cuts at the level that we're sort of guesstimating we'll take. So why not wait until year 5? That's the conversation I've had with a number of you, a number of folks who aren't in this room. You know, that it has been, well, we all agree we'll do this for 5 years and then we'll reassess. So why are we pushing it now at the end of year 4? In addition to the flying off the cliff thing that I mentioned earlier, you know, I think that if you look back at the April 2013 report when Waffham was implemented, right, there's a whole list of parking lot items. Thank you. And one of those parking lot items that was going to be addressed shortly after the implementation of Waffham was validation or auditing of the data, right, the filing data. That hasn't happened. I know Leah and her team, you know, we've talked to them about it, and I know that the new audit group is gearing up to start that, but that's going to take 4 years from what I've been told. So we sort of haven't had the data audit or the data validation that was promised, and so I think that has led to some issues. Lastly, I think we think the time is right now because of the flat budget, quite frankly. We all know that one way or another, we were able to live with what we got this year. And so that's sort of why we're making the ask of, well, if we can all just agree to lock in at what we had this year, assuming the budget is flat, no one will take any additional cuts next year, and that'll give us a year to look at potential alternatives for law. So I guess I did take close to my 5 minutes. Thank you for the time.
For the time. Thank you. Great. And this is Judge Jacobson. I'm sure you'll know him, but just so the record, Judge Jacobson is now making public comments.
Thank you. Obviously, I incorporate by reference Mr. Pinky's comments. We have significant issues with GIPSIS. It needs to be updated. It needs to be consistently applied. By applied, I mean, I think there's a lot of room for interpretation when you look at GIPSIS, and without an audit function that is effective and active, that will cover all courts at the same time, GIPSIS is problematic. We need to look at that, study it, fix it. We need to develop an audit sequence that courts can agree on with adequate capture workload. And we need to move towards a budget methodology that no longer pits courts against one another, cannibalizing one another, but instead, as we determine that some courts are in greater need, we raise those courts up while holding other courts harmless. I want to simply say, you know, we've heard various responses to this activity of ours. One of those has been that we ought to just stop lying. And I just want to speak to that very briefly, which is my view as the presiding judge of my court is that I have a fiduciary duty to our employees and our community. And we can see that we're going to run aground, that we have been hiring freezes, we've reduced various services. And for us, we're at that point where we're going to crash. And I feel that I have a fiduciary duty to my community to try everything that we can to avoid layoffs and court closures. I would point out that in 2009, we laid off 10% of our staff, 75 people at that time. Now, of 25 to 2011, like a lot of other courts over the course of the Great Recession, our staff reduced by about 35%. We're in a situation that a lot of courts are not in, which is we are now in the eighth year in a row of cuts. So we went through the recession, and we hit four more years of cuts since. The other point that I wanted to make is that, you know, there was this idea that we would do Whopping for 5 years and then evaluate. So if we wait until the 5 years are up, what are we going to do in the sixth year? Is that a sixth year of Whopping? That wasn't part of the agreement. This is a really good time to stop and clean it up, fix the things that we can all agree are broken, find a way to measure apples to apples. I don't know if the funding methodology that we proposed is the right idea. I wanted to at least come up with an alternative that had things like transparency, predictability, holding courts harmless, those kinds of ideas in there. That may not be the best way to go. Filings may be a better measuring stick, but we've got to get to a point where we can capture what all the courts are doing and measure the same things from one court to another. It's imperative, if we're going to have a methodology based on relativity, that we can see what everybody else is doing. We should all be able to see. We should all be measuring the same stuff. We should all be able to see what we're doing. I have no idea how much my cut is going to be in July. I don't know. If what we're being told as we've asked this question about what the predictions are, no one in this room knows what their gain or their loss will be. That's extraordinarily difficult when you're looking at negotiating with the unions. We got a statute, 77202 of the government code, that says we're supposed to be conducting our budget business in a way that gives us that predictability that allows us to negotiate with unions. And so I think that we can find a better way that doesn't involve. This year we had 25 donor courts. We shouldn't be cutting ourselves. We need to be held harmless or gaining. Simply said, if we're going to take cuts, we ought to all take the same equal cut. Thank you. I'm done.
Thanks, Judge Jacobson. Appreciate it. Okay, I think that concludes public comment. I didn't see anybody else on the list, and frankly, it's a small room, and I don't see anybody else in the room for public comment. We did receive a written public comment from, I have it right here, I just want to make sure, from Lake. So everybody has been provided that public comment in the materials. They have that written public comment. Okay? So that concludes our public comment section. Thanks both very much. And we now move to agendized items, and the first return to is status of the work of the Whopping rollout. And I'm going to let Rebecca sort of. I'm looking at
workload priorities.
We have two informational items first. Is that what you want to handle?
Sure.
Or did you want to handle this one?
Well, I'm looking. So we've got.
Oh, you know what? Well, item one is page 9. Is that what you're looking
right,
for?
Yep. Okay. Item one on the information-only items, no action requires the status of.
That's page 9. Sorry.
The informational item, number one, which is the workload-based allocation funding methodology 2018-19 rollout. There's no backup material for it. We're just going to give it a status.
Okay.
Okay. This is the item for the test. We talked about last year. So this issue is that at our last funding methodology subcommittee, we had discussed a proposal on what happens post year 5 of WAFM. And a proposal was put together, and it was submitted via TICVAC to E&P, and at that point it was held. And I believe Judge Conklin had a conversation with Justice Miller at that point.
Right. It was tabled. So it was tabled appropriately, actually. And by tabling it, the council said they would not take action on it at that time. And I was appropriately educated as to what tabling means. And tabling means it's closed for discussion. So it was simply taken off the agenda. It was closed for discussion. And my understanding is then, as we have discussed, and the work plan will be for the next year, that we will then take that time to exactly do that, to evaluate, assuming nothing else changes, to evaluate the WAFM rollout and the impact of that rollout, and then get that information back to the council. Go ahead.
So the follow-up to that is, TICVAC then had a short conversation in which they asked for it to come back to the subcommittee, and to reevaluate whether it is still our proposal to send it back to EMP as a continued rollout to 100%, and if it's still in the same structure. And if I recall, I believe it's at 10% a year until full implementation.
Right. So the discussion would then go back to say, recognizing public comment, obviously in the request of that, the ask from the council was from year five on, how does it, what's the proposal, how it rolls out from year five?
After the first
5 years.
Implementation.
So you're saying starting at year six.
Exactly,
correct.
Beginning of year six.
Well, I personally do not think that we should continue with the recommendation that we made. I think we, after year five, will be close to, where's our staffer that will know? We'll probably be around 73-74% of the total. So I think that it would make some sense to take a year and look at what happens after that. So that's at least where I sit.
I have a question then, kind of procedurally. This is an information item. Is it going to be on the agenda then in the future for us to discuss this?
Yes, and it'll be part of the workload that we're developing, our plan for the next year. But part of this, as you can see, is reviewing our work plan for 2016-2017, it's going to be a significant part of that work plan.
So I'm a little confused because my agenda says discussion and possible action items. Does that mean technically that we can't make motions for these items? Am I looking at the wrong?
So there's an agenda, so,
yes.
And then you're looking at the material.
Yes.
The material is only list the items that are on for action. So
you're looking down at that.
But you're right. The agenda does say discussion.
Yeah, because if it says, if it's advertised under the Brown Act as discussion, you can enact an item. Why couldn't you?
You're right. You're right. So I think we're just making sure we're on the same sheet of music, so to speak.
Okay.
Discussion of possible action items, item one, funding methodology, workload priorities for 2017-2018. That's what you're looking
at? What page are you on?
I'm on the agenda page two, the published agenda.
The published agenda says it's information item only.
Oh.
No. The published
Since
it's an open meeting, I want to make sure because the public has been provided the agenda. So I'm just trying to say agenda to the public.
Got it.
And item number one is the status where we are right now before the council. We've just covered that. Not that we can't take action on it as under item one for discussion on possible action, but the first two items of discussion, the second was the status of RAS. Again, that just starts off as a discussion item with a review of RAS proposed case weights on the discussion item. But for the good of the whole, we can just move down into the discussion of possible action items if they are late. That's fine with me.
Oh, I don't care how you do it. You're right. The materials don't match. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So just so I'm clear, the 5 years and pause is different than what they're asking for a pause this year in year four before going to year five, correct?
Yes. Okay. Right. That was the public comment was change what's already been approved and pause at four rather than five.
And I'm saying that what we sent to the council was to continue on after year five, and I don't think we should do that, but I do think we should finish year five.
So the year five is actually part of what was approved by the council.
By the council already.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if we were going to take action on that separately, we'd have to set the separate issue.
Right.
So this one is strictly on year six forward.
Right.
To full implementation.
So,
right. So I've got to be, again, I know I'm being very administrative, but I think as co-chairs, we have to be. This is not an agendized item today to discuss prior to the end of year five. What we're discussing on the agenda is the previous plan approved by the council was years one, two, three, four, and five. And then what do we do after year five?
Because just to clarify, we recommended that went to
right,
the council, six through 10.
Correct.
And that's what we're reading.
Yeah, I support the pause
at six.
Right. The only thing that we, because the council already approved the five.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
so,
right.
Again, we can't, just to be administrative about it, because that's what we're used to being, we can't today, there's no action item today that would allow us to consider anything other than addressing what happens after the fifth complete year of WAFA. I'm not saying it's not a very valid item for discussion. I'm not saying that there may be ways to address that if we don't stop it now within the fifth year. But there's no action item today, nor can.
And the only thing I want to say, just because I've been in a couple meetings where that Jacob has been there, I think he feels like he's gotten the runaround because he's tried to go to folks above and they say that you have to start here. Isn't that what they told him? So he's starting here. So I'd hate to have him leave going, well, we can't do anything for you either. Then it, because part of the reason why he, and I don't want to speak for you, but part of the reason why he had said before he jumped to going to the legislature as opposed to everything else was because he felt like he was being in a long, continuous loop with the council and not getting any kind of response.
I don't have a problem with the discussion at all. I actually don't even have a problem with what Sherry's proposing, but I don't see it on the agenda today.
Right.
And I think we ought to discuss it. We ought to discuss it soon, but it's got to be.
I agree. And I appreciate the comments. I'm just, we have to be very, very careful. There's rules we have to follow for open meetings. We're in an open meeting right now. People from the public around the state are listening in. They don't have the privilege of somebody sitting in this room to make a comment, and they can't. This is a discussion item. I truly appreciate Judge Heinrich's approach. I think you're right. But all we can do today is discuss where do we go after the end of year five, not to say that we cannot discuss other ways we address year five or other alternatives.
Well, my thought is that if we can't do it today because of all the rules, which is fine, that we make sure it gets on an agenda soon that's publicized and discussed. That's all.
Sure. Absolutely.
So just to kind of redirect back, so in terms of, so I think what we're trying to just let the committee know is that when EMP stopped, it TICBAC asked us to revisit it, so it will be on the next agenda for year six forward. And so we'll put that on for an action item for the next agenda. So, and if I recall, it was a 10% incremental until 100%. And with that, we'll bring materials that show where we actually are in terms of implementation, which is well beyond 50%.
So. Which goes to Sherry's point of, I think, is will be very helpful to everybody to see at the end of the fifth full year
right. Where
we really are as far as the rollout goes, because it is well beyond the 50%.
Way beyond.
Right. Okay. So, information item only, the status of the resource, the RAS study, and we've got Leah Rose Goodwin here.
I moved seats, Judge, so I could be near the
great. Thank you.
The speaker. And there are many folks who were at that meeting are here again today, so I would invite any of you who were at the meeting or on the phone to chime in and help me fill in any pieces that might be missing. But the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee met yesterday to review and approve the case weights and other model parameters that we use to measure court staff workload and that feeds into the resource allocation study model. And that, just as a refresher, is the first step in the WAPA methodology. We start by assessing how many court staff FTE are needed statewide based on your own particular blend of filings and your court's workload. And then that FTE number is converted into a dollar amount. And that's how we establish our statewide funding need. So the committee had two items to review and approve. The first item was whether or not to approve the case weights and other model parameters that are used to measure workload. Case weights are a measure of the amount of time that cases of different types take to reach their final disposition. And we have weights, they're all assessed in minutes. We have weights for cases like infractions, felony, or misdemeanor. We have divisions of workload where we know that there are known differences in the amount of time needed by staff to do that work. The other model parameters are things like the ratios that we use to calculate how many managers and supervisors are needed, and the staff year value, which is the amount of time that staff have to do their work. So the committee voted to approve the case weights. They voted to use a version of the case weights that is based on the time study data collected. There was a very vigorous discussion about the version of the case weights to approve, and the committee selected to use case weights that reflected measured study time. In terms of the staff year value, as with many things in the judicial branch, there's a movement toward using some of the measurements and principles that the executive branch uses, and so we have moved also to use the year value that Department of Finance uses to measure their staff time. The second action that was taken was to approve for forwarding to the Budget Advisory Committee the 17-18 estimates of staff need based, again, on the new weights and other parameters that were approved. And that was also passed. We have forwarded a preliminary version of that information to staff of the committee, but we're waiting to confirm some data. There was a member mentioned that there was a counting issue that they wanted to confirm first before proceeding. We're going to check in with that member the first part of next week, and if it's something that we need to revise, we will do so. And finally, the FTE estimates are all based, again, on these new RAS model. That would have to be approved by council at its May meeting. So while we're able to transmit a version of the information, it would be pending the approval of the council at its May meeting.
Okay. So the council is the one that takes action on that, not this committee?
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
Any questions about the update? Yes.
Assuming it's approved, when would it be effective? Would it be July 1st?
So if assuming it's approved, it would be available for the 17-18 allocation.
Is it controversial?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, yes, it's controversial. I think that there'll be some discussion about it. Part of, can I, want me to say what the,
sure.
The discussion yesterday was partly that, you know, one of the reasons why we can't advise each other as courts is because the legislature doesn't fully fund us. And so what we're trying to do is get numbers that that actually kind of cut a little bit more, but in fact, we think the idea is that we would be able to then say to the legislature, look, we have taken all the wiggle room out of what you think we might be padding, and this is what we need to fully fund, and to try to make that the discussion as opposed to, you know, give us more, but it's still not enough, and then we fight amongst each other about not having enough money and how to divide it to get the idea that WAFM isn't a distribution of how we distribute money, but in fact what we need to fully fund our courts. So with that in mind, it was taking the numbers that were strictly the data point numbers and not the numbers that were increased after the Delphi group talked about, well, these seem a little low. We took out the fuzzy pieces of it and said we want just the data points. And then by using the Department of Finance numbers, it is also one that is not as robust as the court numbers can be. But again, the thing about that is that if you take 58 courts, the averages that we create aren't consistent among the courts. Some have higher and some have less. And so, again, it was the idea that if you use the DFO, and because that's what folks are used to as language, that we can really say fully fund us, and that hopefully is what we can, you know, be able to show and present. But it does work to
it decreases the state gap.
It doesn't, there's still a significant gap.
Right? But it decreases the gap because it's more defensible because it uses data. Exactly.
Yeah. So there's two things we look at, the actual dollars we're receiving versus the gap from that of what the data shows we should receive. And
right.
This would change that figure. It would change what our ask is, so to speak, but it would not change where we are right now in relation to how we're funded.
But it would change the gap.
Correct.
Yeah.
Lower the gap, actually.
The statewide gap, yeah, but it's more defensible, we believe, because it's based on data rather than fuzzy.
Maybe that's why. I was also at the meeting, so maybe even to elaborate a bit further, 14 of the 20 case categories went up and 6 went down. Some of the ones that anecdotally you'd suspect would change, like misdemeanors, it changed markedly. Dependency, delinquency, and then some other categories had some declines based on where we were from 2011 when we did our first study to 2016 when we did the last study. There was this Delphi process, which really was almost an indefensible way of adding or subtracting time because it was based on
experience.
You know, oh, I don't think that should take a half hour. I think it should take an hour. At the end of the day, we went with the more reasoned scientific hard data that we could defend in the data points, and that still resulted in, you know, I think a marked change in the weights between the various case categories. And the DOF, again, was an attempt to just say it one more time. There's been criticism that our year value, the clerk's year value, which is different than the state, was maybe subject to unnecessary scrutiny. We had to defend it. We had to justify why we weren't using this. We wanted to take all that off the table and say, look, we're going to use the state standard that has been in existence for decades, frankly, the methodology that the state uses. And that's one less argument that you can use to try and tear our model apart. And, again, stick with the scientific piece. Stick with that which we know is a given and is accepted, frankly, but at the state level. At the end of the day, the gap may have closed a bit, but there's still going to be a several hundred billion dollar gap between where we are and what we need to be.
So as you said, to make it indefensible, as I perceive it, and I wasn't in the room, and I've just been trying to be filled in over the past 24 hours, but if they say these are the numbers you should use, and we for the past few years have said, yeah, but we've tweaked them this way, now we're going to go back and say, okay, we're using the numbers you told us we should use. So it does essentially become indefensible in the sense of, or defensible in the sense of, these are the standards you asked us to apply, and we've applied them.
Well, not really, because we've updated our measurements.
Right.
But the Delphi component we elected not to use because it wasn't based on hard evidence, but it was experts, subject matter experts, who through their experiences felt that some of the numbers should be adjusted.
Okay.
And so because it wasn't based in data, we elected not to use it. So I wouldn't say there was anything necessarily wrong before. This is just a refinement of that process. And that Delphi methodology is used by many other institutions and states. So I don't want you to think that it's not a process that's used. We just, what I've heard repeatedly, and Zlatko, correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard repeatedly from very good sources that the Department of Finance and others see WAFM as a good way to allocate money, but it's more in determining the branch need that they haven't quite understood. So by making that piece more credible, it makes the gap more defendable. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay.
So if I could just add when we talk about is there going to be some degree of controversy, I think it would be helpful to define what that might be. So in terms of the two items that I wasn't there, right, I'm on the committee either, I heard about it, but the two, one is related to what does the staff year look like? Well, that's impacting all of us equally. Right? That becomes a number that is used for every one of us as courts. So to the extent that there is any controversy on that, it comes down more to being whether that staff year is really what you experience in your court. And as was mentioned, that staff year used by DOS has been there for decades, family medical leave act, pre-CFRA, pre-sick leave rules, right? So those have been in place, and so is that really what you experience? Perhaps not. That is the number that they use on the executive branch side, and that impacts us all the same. So there isn't going to be controversy there of one court versus another. I mean, we're all impacted equally. Some on the Delphi side might have a different opinion because, this is changing case weights. So traffic went down, right? All right. So traffic went down by a few minutes. Well, if you're a court that has a very high proportion of traffic cases, that's going to impact you differently than a court that has very few traffic cases. Right? So, I mean, the controversy is going to be really.
But let's be real. The biggest changes were complex civil and asbestos that impact a handful of courts.
I was just saying overall in the change, just trying to be, let's be open about it. Whether it gets angst is that it depends on. If you have a whole lot of cases that are low, if you have a lot of traffic cases, for example, and that case type goes down, you're going to see the number of staff you need go down. Where if you're in a jurisdiction that has a lot of dependency cases as your case mix, dependency takes more time now than it used to. That's correct, right? That's what we're actually seeing in terms of work.
But Jake, that's a little misleading, and that's the reason I want to correct it, because the time study did the same thing. The Delphi adjustment.
I'm not talking about Delphi.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying in
the
terms of
the study itself.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the other thing that I want to add is one thing that's interesting that Leah has all the data from is there's some courts, and I just saw the traffic one, so that say Fresno takes a long time for traffic or has a longer per minute, and Los Angeles has the smallest, but they're more automated, and they also use contractors that don't get captured in the mix. So,
which means we get screwed there.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
No,
yeah.
No. We do add that back in. Let's
okay.
Make that.
But. But
the point I wanted to make about that is if Los Angeles has ways to have their, because of automation and costs go down, then I think that's what we show the legislature as well to say, if you provide us funding so everybody has the same or similar automation, then we can reduce all of those types of things. So it's a, you know, so it's a way to be able to, I mean, those charts digging down but that we have make, if your court is one that has a lot of minutes, then to say, well, what do you do that is less time so that we can try to be more efficient? And so I do think there's more materials that were gathered from the time study that are really valuable for individual courts to see and to be able to use as some planning.
And we are treated exactly the same for the case types. It's just how many are filed in your court. Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion on that, on info item 2? Okay, so now we move to discussion and possible action items and get us back to item number 1, the workload priorities for the 2017-2018 year. Sure.
Okay, so that is on page 9. And so what we need to do is start taking a look and refreshing the work plan. Many of the items you will see that were on the 15-16 year, and in fact, some of them on the 16-17 year have activity going that is either involves another committee or has been taken by another committee. So we need to kind of refresh this and put a new list to the TICBAC committee and set the new dates for 17-18 and the items that are going to go on that. And so if we want to go down the list, let's just start at the top of the 15-16. So plans for 18, 19, and beyond. So that's the information item we talked about this morning. TICBAC's asked us to take another look at it. So I would suggest we just make that a 17, 18 item, rather high priority one, so we can get it going in case it needs some discussion.
So that, to address it directly, that is the what do we do after year 5?
Right, year 6 and beyond.
Right.
Right.
And do we need motions or can we just agree? I agree.
So why don't I go down the list and then make a note if I'll give you my notes as we go through, and then and this will be just based on how it's falling. And then if anybody has anything to add or change on timing or substance or what have you, we'll go from there and we'll do maybe all of it in one motion unless we need to pull something out. Okay? So that one we'll have for 17-18. The reviewing of operating expenses and equipment calculation and other components and establishing a refresh cycle, that has been completed, so that will drop off. The new judgeship staffing complement went to the TICBAC as a recommendation, and I don't know where is that? What's the status of that?
Of the judicial, of the...
The complement funding is the staffing piece, so we'll have to get a status on that one. So... We can
offer the status.
Okay, so we'll roll that over to next meeting as a status item. The technology funding streams under 16-17, the JCTC and CITMF have basically taken this on, and so my recommendation was, unless you want to trail it and just keep an eye on where it's at, is to perhaps just drop it off of our list because there's really nothing for us to do until those two groups.
Why don't we track it on the 2017-18 plan so we don't drop it?
Okay. So we track it.
Well, whatever.
Just keep it on the list.
I don't want to drop it completely because then we may forget about it.
And for those that were
to market for that though,
yeah,
like it's just for review.
Just for yeah. And do we want to
just keep it on the 17-18 list?
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And maybe what we'll do is we'll put those items on as discussion items only, and we'll have updates from representatives quarterly or however. Okay. Joint Working Group of Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee to evaluate the allocation methodology for Child Support Commissioner and Family Law Facilitator Program funding. So this happened, went forward, and now is happening again. I have not heard a status, but this is going to be reevaluated by that committee again. So I would recommend if we're going to do the tracking, we just do that with this group as well.
You know, I don't think they're actually looking at the allocation methodologies. I sent an email. I know that you, Judge Conklin, and Zlatko, that hasn't been responded to yet, but that's okay, Zlatko. Anyway, because basically the
The point
is, more on me.
No, you responded.
Yeah, but I think that was that. But
we talked together about it.
Yeah, no, my point is,
I'm moving away.
We were part of that review.
Right.
And they hired a consultant who's doing a really good job in identifying the state needs. They are not addressing the allocation methodology. Now, can they somehow wrap it together? I don't know. But I do want you to know that we were part of that study, and they are identifying what they believe they should go and ask as a state need, which is good because it's always easier to allocate when you have more money. But I don't think it addresses what we were tasked to do, which is to look at the allocation methodology based on workload. That's what the council has approved.
So
they've got it in their hands, so we're going to monitor it. There's nothing else for us to do.
I think we do need an update, though, for that particular piece, because I don't think they've done anything on the
allocation. An update from them.
I don't think they've done anything on the allocation part.
So is it still FAMJU?
Well, I can tell you what the consultant study's doing. My contract role is to develop several different ways to fund the existing AB 1058 court program, obtain feedback on this model, and make a single recommendation that creates a workload-based allocation to the AB 1058 court.
Yeah.
That's
not what they're gathering. The data they're gathering wouldn't support that. But we should have an update.
Well, that's what, I mean, he thinks
he is.
Yeah.
He's been hired by DCFS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll put it on to track for 17.
Go ahead.
So just a quick update. I can speak with Anna Mage from CSCC, and as I understand, there's a meeting on May 11th for the consultant to present the methodologies. Apparently, there's 4 to 5 workload-based methodologies. So I can provide materials on the upcoming meeting in May for everyone.
Great.
All right. So we'll put that on as track, and then we'll have an update as it comes through. Okay. So number 3, evaluate the impact of civil assessments as it relates to WAFM. So that actually, we do have a discussion and possible action today for that. So I'd like to just continue that on to as our continuing workload items for 17-18. As you may recall, we spent a lot of time talking about civil assessments last year and MOEs and everything else. And so I'll just say fiscal year 17-18 as an action item on that one. All right, so then we get into review trial for trust fund and IMS self-help funding allocation. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Should we just roll it forward? Roll it forward? Okay. No? I heard a groan.
No.
No,
that was me.
Oh.
That was just quiet. Well, let's just finish and then we can talk about it.
All right, I'll put it down for 17-18 and then we can come back if you want to do that. Then what we were going to do is look at all funding sources and just determine allocation models. So if you recall when we were talking about civil assessments, we specifically called out civil assessments because of the volume of dollars behind it, but we determined that there were other local funds, et cetera, that we were going to have to make a decision on at some point. And so at the point where we were going to be done with the civil assessments discussion, we were going to go back and look at the rest of the various funding streams that were maybe not as significant. And so that's what this item is.
So 17-18.
So I'm just rolling all these to 17-18 unless I hear different from somebody. Okay, so then review funding for calculation to determine handling of inflation and refresh cycle. So we do have an item on as for today, item 4, that was brought over a year ago regarding BLS, and that is actually kind of related to funding floor. It's just a component of it. But this I would roll to next year anyway just to address the inflation and refresh cycle. Special circumstance case funding. Roll forward.
Unless it's done, I'd roll it forward.
Yeah. Okay. Allocation methodology for staffing component funding of reallocated judgeships.
Isn't that the same as 3 under 15-16?
No.
Oh.
So this is the reallocation. This relates to the reallocation of existing judgeships.
Oh, I see. New versus reallocation.
Right.
Yeah. So that will roll.
Yeah, but we have them.
It's addressed in the law.
On that,
isn't it?
Law
because it's workload-based.
Opposed.
Yeah. Well, we okay, so for the existing bill, it's in the bill, but do we need to address an overall policy?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Because it's in the – WAFM is workload-based.
Irrespective of how many
– Because it And to do it otherwise, then you're, for a court that is having a judgeship leave, you're almost creating an additional penalty. So
and I think this was put on way before. I mean, way before we got to the language we have today in the bill. So
which was the budget to eliminate it?
Drop. Okay. Allocation methodology for undesignated reduction.
That's an annual issue, depending on if it's necessary.
Correct.
So it's not a standing position, but rather evaluated based on the terms of the reduction and where we stand overall at this point.
So I think the thought was if it was not prescribed on how we had to reduce, are we going to allocate the reductions out similar to the way we allocate funding out type of thing?
You know, I'm with Laco. I don't think we should make a policy. I think it depends on the amount of the reduction and whether it's one time or ongoing. I think there should be flexibility to address it dependent on what the reduction is, right? I mean, once you make a policy.
Yeah, we did this when they had the $22.7 million issue, and we did it one way the first year.
Yeah.
We thought, you know, we're going to just offset it against that net increase that particular year. I think the decision was, let's not have a standing policy, but rather evaluate it as the budgets develop.
Does anyone think
I agree. I'm just trying to go back to why it was here to begin with, which I think was about trying to be able to do some prediction. So if we were looking, right, so if we were looking at, we had Wofford for 1 year to 5 years, and okay, we knew that was being was happening. But I think the question was kind of along with what do you do in years 6 through 10? Well, on the one hand, you're talking about what are you going to do if there's additional money or no left, right? And I think the question came up about would it be helpful for us to know how that would get allocated for a planning purpose? Although I'm not opposed to just taking it off, because I agree until we know is it allocated or not, maybe it doesn't matter, or I don't know. But I think that's why it was there going back a couple years
ago. It'd almost be one of those indefinite ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there, depending on what occurs to us.
So leave it there as a placeholder.
Or drop it to the next.
I would take it off, or drop it. If we have a reduction, we have to allocate. It's a discussion,
I don't
right?
disagree. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then we have indefinite, which is evaluate impact of JCC and other provided services. And second, the second one under there, evaluate how to include unfunded costs of courthouse construction. And so I would just suggest we go ahead and just roll those under 1718 and see how far we get. So what that leaves us on this particular list is carrying forward number one.
Under 1516, carrying forward one.
Right. These would all be proposed to go to 1718.
Right.
Number one, number three, number under 1617, rolling forward number one and two as tracking items only.
Hold on. I don't know if you wanted me to wait till the end, but
oh sure.
As for number two under the 1617, I'm one of the co-chairs of that subcommittee, joint subcommittee, and the discussion, as I understand it, does include the allocation, but it does not include reviewing the AB 1058 revenue as an offset to WAFM funding needs. There's been no discussion of that. So if you're looking at that and thinking tracking, there's nothing to track because that subcommittee is not doing anything with that. That's your take on it?
Yeah.
You're hesitant.
So I think that the funding piece, there's also a complication in that the stats for the funding are included in RAS filings, but the funding is backed out of WAFM, and there's not a mechanism in place to separate the filings from the regular family law filings. So if we want to have this as an action item, or I mean a work item, that's fine, but I don't know that they're going to be able to, we're going to have some complication.
Right. You may need to wait for the subcommittee.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah.
But that subcommittee is not working on that. So
okay.
I guess what you're saying is, I mean, perfect sense. Mm-hmm. You're going to track the subcommittee until their work's done.
Right.
And then you'll put it back on the active work list.
Right.
That makes sense. But then also I wanted to, should I wait until you raise
so maybe the easiest way for me to do this is to say, okay, let's go ahead and approve the track items. So that's one and two off of fiscal year 16 and 17. Anybody have anything else to track? Okay, does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll move.
So just let me address that. So when we talk about 18, 19, or beyond, particular, we're talking about for WAFM, we're talking about after year five. Mm-hmm. Though part of our work next year, during the fifth year, will be to do what the fifth year was intended for, and
that is drill down into WAFM and make decisions about what's going on, how should we calculate things, should there be changes to WAFM, that type of thing. So that's going to be addressed in the upcoming year as part of our work plan. We are going to be engaged in the discussion of that in the upcoming year.
If we add it here.
If we put it in.
Right, exactly. But I just want to clarify that when we talk about putting it here, that's what we're talking about.
Right. We're talking about the work that we'll actually drill into.
Exactly.
Right. So to start with, then, we're talking about what are we going to track, which would be 1 and 2.
Under 16. Well, and I hate to be real picky about that, but could we change the wording on number 2, this is for 16, 17, number 2, and take out the word including, and instead use language that points out that we're waiting so that in order to address or in order to review
pending,
so that it's clear here, and when we look at it again in 2 years, we're not confused by that.
You know, just change including to either pending or
in order to.
Or subsequent to receiving information, we'll start to review or whatever. So, Judge Cole, that's good news. You believe they are looking at an allocation methodology based on workflow.
I believe that's part of what we're doing. Yeah.
And where do they think, so it'll go to the joint subcommittee and then go where after that?
Back to the council.
Okay, so I
Those joint subcommittees is what happened last time. Our recommendations went back through our respective committees and then went to the council in kind of a strange
pattern. I agree. I agree, but I think our instructions this time are different.
Yeah, okay. To go to the council. So there won't be any trial court budget or FAMJUVE input after that, which is probably a better process.
I agree. The process before was not a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will add
pending
review of 1058 working group or pending review recommendation from working group. Then we'll come back in. Okay. And then we'll track it until then. So from the 1617, we're going to track those first two with the addition of language that indicates we're pending a recommendation from the working group. Okay, so do we want to move that?
I'll move that.
Is there a second?
Okay. So those two are taken care of. Okay.
Well, any further discussion? Any opposition to that? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yeah, I know. Well, there you go. There's rule followers. I read Robert's rules every night.
Then for 1718, for working items, we're going to have from the 1516 section, we're going to have 1 and 3. And from the 1617 section, we're going to have 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
But didn't Jake have an issue regarding 4?
My issue is only priority.
Okay.
And then we will add the indefinites 1 and 2.
I understand what everybody's position is as to 8, the allocation methodology for reallocated judgeships. And I actually agree with what you're saying. The funding is workload-based, not judgeship-based, and there shouldn't be reallocation. But that's a decision. And so I guess you're right. We could make that decision by inaction. But I think there are still people wondering what's going to happen with that. I know there are people in my court that have a different opinion. So as long as everybody understands that by taking that off the work plan, we're making a decision.
Do you think it's better if we take a position on it?
I think it's better if we take a position that this is a workload-based funding and that it shouldn't be reallocated if any judges get reallocated.
So should we leave it on the list and then make it one of the higher priorities to take
make
a position
take
on?
Action on?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Anybody want to make that motion?
Oh, apparently I do.
At all times. Terry will do it.
Everybody understand the motion, especially those who are writing it down? Okay.
Whether Sherry or Tanya.
So I'm going to end up agreeing, and I'm going to end up disagreeing because that is going to take away staff time from looking at items that are actually going to result in change.
No, because we're just...
I understand the reason, but I just... We're adding staff work for a political reason, and that's work that could be devoted to areas where we know we want to make changes to better the overall model.
That's fair enough. I didn't see any work involved, but I don't have an objection to
that. Well, I guess the question is there any real work involved, or
the discussion has occurred about it. I mean, so it's a matter of do you want to, as opposed to this being an item that is discussed about future work, but rather you want to make a decision now. It might be that it just gets agendized for another meeting so that you can actually take an action regarding it, as opposed to
and have a full discussion.
It, yes. And so, okay. All right, that would be, other than adding it to an agenda for action.
A huge amount of work. There's some big work that's listed in here that's going to take a lot of staff time and a lot of effort and a lot of debate, and I just don't want to focus on that on an issue that feels like it's largely.
But we will have to take this list to take back.
Yes.
Finalization.
Right.
We can include in that item that these lists that were previously on are no longer being included for these reasons. And therefore, we put our reasons on paper and an agenda item for take back. Does that sound okay? So this goes to the next take back meeting?
That's true. Anybody at take back could put something back on or add something in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could do that.
Good suggestion.
So I think that suggestion is then leave it off the list, but make sure that it's clear that it's being removed from the list. And I'm fine with that. I can withdraw my motion.
But you'll be there at the TIC Pack meeting.
And won't object to it. It'll be fine.
Oh, but if you want to, understood. Okay. But
I want to
make sure
it's a discussion. A full discussion
right.
on whether.
Right. The full discussion that you're thinking about could occur and I think should occur for the TIC Pack.
Yeah.
Just because we're saying to TIC Pack we're taking it off doesn't mean TIC Pack can't discuss it.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
So then, is your motion modified to drop number 8?
Oh, does that need a motion?
Well, everything else still needs.
Your friendly amendment.
I'm not going to move to drop it.
Okay.
So, it was moved in second, and I think, or was it?
It was.
It was included in the move second, so we need to vote. Then.
Right.
Can I withdraw my motion?
I think you can, if the second agrees. So you withdraw.
Oh, anything for Judge Cope, but then I'll substitute it for dropping it. Is that what we agreed? We're going to drop it?
Well, let's be real clear. Judge Cope's motion was to include it and was seconded. And now Judge Cope, as the person making the motion, is asking that the motion be withdrawn.
And I seconded his motion, so I will agree to his withdrawal, but I'm going to make the motion.
Judge Cope's motion is and second is withdrawn, and now Ms. Carter is making an alternative motion.
Yeah, so what did we agree to? To take it off, but with the clarification that we believe that it's workload-based. Okay, I'm fine.
And therefore would submit it to TIC Pack for further discussion as appropriate.
Yeah, but I need a second to that.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion on the new motion?
Just a clarification. That language that we put out for number 8, we would also do for number 9 on the item that we're dropping and why we think that one we mm-hmm. dropped as well.
Okay, so now the motion is pending. Haven't been seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right,
aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, so now are there any changes that we want to make for the work plan for 17-18 or beyond that we want to add on to propose to TIC Pack that are not already in existence?
I do have one, good, which we're going to end up talking about, I think, as part of item number 4 on our agenda later, which relates to the BLS for the small reports. So I guess procedurally I'm not sure how to do this because I don't know how that conversation is going to go, but I think that during that conversation we may end up with something that comes out of that conversation that would impact next year's work plan.
Could we revisit this agenda item if there's something unresolved at the end of our discussion?
Sure.
Because I don't want to assume where that's going to go. I
right.
just have a feeling
right.
that it's not.
Right. Yeah. So if we need to come back to it. Right.
Right.
Fair enough. Okay.
But I noted, I wrote down BLS just in case. Any other work items that we want to add in for next year or beyond for TIC Pack?
I think we've got enough on our plate.
Okay. And that will be the list that we will submit to. Not to, it won't go tomorrow. It's not agenda for tomorrow, is it, Suzanne?
No.
It's not. It will be for the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay, so that moves to item number 2, WAFM adjustment request process. Explain that.
So this adjustment process was approved in 2013. And this is on page number 10, and you'll actually see a marked up version on page 12 of some proposed changes. And what I just, all I did was I took the liberty of suggesting in some dates based on conversations. So the policy was put in place in order to allow suggested changes to the methodology. But what it didn't do is take into account the various meetings and approvals that have to happen and the process that has to happen in order to get it to the courts in a timely fashion so that they can plan for their next fiscal year. And so what you're going to see is the markup version primarily on page 12. It does update for administrative office of courts and judicial counsel and then cleans up a little bit of language, but basically proposes dates in order to move things through the process. And so I am not married to this language. It was just kind of a place to start. But what we'd like to do is basically open it up so that we can republish this and make sure that everybody knows the timing so that if there's a change to be made, we're not, you know, winding up with something that basically throws somebody in a ringer. So I will throw it out for discussion at that point.
So can I add to this,
yes,
a piece to this? So what we've created in our system now is basically three steps to get to funding. So the first step is the courts reporting their filings via GPSIS, the Judicial Branch Statistical Information System. And that there is a manual that defines what is a filing and what is each filing. And so that GPSIS manual is reviewed by the Court Executive Advisory Committee, and that advisory committee makes recommendations to the council on the definitions that exist within the GPSIS manual. And so that sort of defines that process. And one of the items that so that looks at just how you report filings. And then you have the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee that Leah was presenting on earlier that looks at how you convert those filings that courts have reported into a count of the number of positions needed for filings-based workloads. And then the third piece is what we're talking about, which is then how do you take the output of what came out of the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee model, the RAS model, in dollars. So one of the things that's happening, just so this group knows a little bit, is we're realizing that there are various steps in that process that come up with questions. You know, as the public comment had earlier, okay, what does it mean to have a definition, potentially? Then how does that get turned into a position count, right? So just as a clarification here, this is trying to look at what is it relating to once you have that FTE count, how do you get to dollars? That's what this item is. Just so this group knows separately, SEAC is also working on then the same type of process for how would you deal with the filing system. So just, and I think the WAC is going to do the same. So we're all working on that for a similar process so that can be communicated so everybody knows, well, if these types of things come up, how do you communicate it and which group do you go to make sure that your issue gets addressed in a structured and timely way. So just want to add that. The second piece here is that this initially was drafted when WAFM was put together for items that we are concerned in that first year there might be something we didn't consider about a unique individual court, and that's really how it was created. That has not resulted in any change since WAFM existed, and so I think what this says, Rebecca, reading it, is you're trying to take it away from an individual court issue and make it, well, we have these things that courts may raise about, well, is this the right way to convert that into money? And that would be a court, that would be a branch-wide item. How do I get that elevated so there can be some discussion, get it on a work plan and get it reviewed and evaluated? So it takes it from an individual court to a broad, right? Okay.
And if they're, right, and to be more specific, by taking it to a broad thing, the language that you will see in here originally was that if I asked for it and got approved, then Jeff had to come and ask for it, too, in order to get it applied to him. And this basically says if we make a change that applies, it applies across the board. You don't have to go and be, you know, be right, and you don't necessarily
right.
have to know what was done that day in order to get the benefit of that, too.
Each individual court doesn't have to ask for it.
Correct.
Once it's there, it's there. But it does set forth appropriate deadlines and other things for courts to be aware of when they have changes to suggest that then makes everybody aware of it so there can be an open discussion of those changes.
And the specific date that has been kind of out there is that after April 1st, we won't make any changes that affect the allocation that is coming July 1st, but that has not been memorialized. So that is what this would do.
In six.
In six.
Right, in six. That's a good point.
May I point something out?
Yep.
Just a few time frames so you're aware. The current process takes 7 months. The proposed one is a year and a half. Is that correct? Just want to make sure time that everyone's aware of what's in your timing, the way I read it. It's a year and a half process.
Right, and we're not extending it, but the thing is the current one does not take in account to get to the kickback. I mean, you're going to – basically what happens is even though it's defined as 7 months, you will wind up missing the kickback meeting or missing the next judicial council meeting, and it will just – it'll get delayed. So this is actually the real-time timing. The other one was theoretical. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many moving pieces to this. Making anything ultimately that does, I mean, I'm just stating the obvious, but ultimately the decision's from the council. So this is how the machinations of how it ultimately gets there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of steps to that process.
That's why it takes two years to get a new rule put in place at the council.
Yeah.
Judge Kopar, are you looking concerned or am I just reading too much?
No, my eyes are dry, but so if I understand, the rule we've had before has been kind of transitional, and now we're past the transition period, so this is more of a long-term stable system.
Yeah. And in terms of timing, what we just basically started with the judicial council meeting, we backed into it to see what's latest that we could give somebody to realistically get there.
I think it's a good idea to have a policy. A year and a half seems like a long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything wrong, but my only question that just popped into my head here is, what if something happens that can't wait that long?
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be some emergency type process or expedited process where, you know, the unspeakable happens and we've got to get to it.
Right.
I would think that we'd have to just advance everything up.
Yeah.
And this doesn't prevent that from happening, but I'm just thinking to myself, if this is the standard due course, that's fine, but I can see an issue popping up, and it's like, man, we've got to have this done. You know,
do you have a thought on that, Zarko? I thought there was a different – well, I guess I don't want to mix apples and oranges. There's other ways to ask for it. For instance, this committee to meet at a different time if something unforeseen comes up. Related to this, I agree. We can't know everything, and other circumstances would occur, so I'm just making things up. But if there was a – you know, half of California fell off the map in an earthquake. So Fresno, would then be a coastal city. we would then have to quickly get back together again, and I'm obviously exaggerating, to talk about how these deadlines change.
So are some of the suggestions, I mean, they're built-in deadlines. So on 5, it says no later than January. Well, if you assume January, then I know why. Number 6 says the council will look at it at the March-April. If it's no later than January, if there's something that's more urgent that comes up, it could technically get to the council before January, which means it could get to the council before March-April, right?
Sure.
My only point is that I think it's good catch. I think it's good that we have a policy. I think it's critical that we treat everybody the same. I think this is good. But a year and a half feels like a long time if something happens that is more than just an evaluation or a review. So I don't know if we could wordsmith it somehow that would say you have no later than January. That would be no later than the March-April Judicial Council meeting. That way, if it comes in September, it could get to them in November, which, you know, it would happen much faster.
Well, isn't a lot of this, though, our own committee process?
Right.
That eats it up, so if we're going to do something, it's on us.
We can move it along with us, but you're right. It has to go from this to tick back to, so you're right.
Right.
We could internally advance it within these deadlines, I would think.
Yeah, this is just the latest. If we follow the schedule with the council, if we follow the schedule with the tick back that has been the process, then or has been the norm, this is just the norm, but we certainly
due process is hell.
Yeah.
Would it be better? Are you looking for some kind of language that, in the appropriate circumstances, you know, it can be hurried up somehow?
Yeah, we certainly could. And I think the idea is not so much to tie everybody in, but basically to give that court that really is not necessarily involved in the committees an idea of, you know, how to get something, an idea started to move through the process.
Yeah, I agree.
But if we have suggested language changes, we're happy to take them. So where and what?
So are you thinking something of, if something of statewide significance were to occur, I mean, I want to avoid this, well, so if there's statewide significance and impact of the trial court statewide, then there'd be a way to address that.
Escalate it.
And it's probably because we would already be aware of that, so we'd be having the meetings rather than a single court coming
right
with their observation and their concern and their request for change in procedures. We'd already know we had to do that. So.
Any suggestions on how we then clarify that? If we need to?
I'm okay with it the way it is.
Okay.
No, I just, if we want to stick to April, right, if part of what we're saying and the reason this was put into place to begin with is that we all need some degree of certainty, and that we said, well, you know, we all will deal with, if we find out in April that something changed for July, we'll deal with it. This is backing into that date and saying, based on how these processes work and realizing it takes time to do an analysis and present the information and move that all forward, I have a hard time envisioning what this item is that's going to come up that suddenly is going to fundamentally change this underlying model, right?
Because if it happens, we'll have a special committee look at it like we did 8109 funding or something like that. That's true. Okay, well then.
So do we still want to add no later though for the before March, April? Well, and quite frankly, if we decide to go to February, May, if the next chair or chairs, want to change the scheduling, we can put no later so that it automatically
does. I think we put no later than the April meeting. So if it somehow did get back in earlier, it doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to wait. You'd rather know earlier.
Yeah.
And of course, I say this and I know now there's going to be something that happens in 6 months that's going to be devastating and in my own county or region. It's like, wait, we didn't even. So, I do kind of realize that having an emergency outlet of something like at the discretion of the chair or something does. I have a hard time figuring out what
to put that at the very end. Timing available, subject to change based on the direction of the chair.
Just something
later. It's interesting. We have to put it in something that tells us we can expedite our own rules. Troubles me a bit because, I think that's inherent in the process.
Just
I say, if this was fine, I just wanted to make sure we had this understanding or whatever. I'm like, if we need to codify it, we're good at codifying everything. But you know what? We can violate our own rules if something needs to get done faster.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't want to stick to the process just for the sake of the process. That's not what we're about.
Right.
Do we need to say that, though, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? nothing would prevent us. What if there's a sentence that says something like, I'm not the best at this, so this policy wouldn't prevent expediting the process.
For any county other than Placer.
Right. Wait, no.
How about this policy does not preclude the committee from taking immediate action based on priority
action.
Given exigent circumstances or something.
Yeah.
Does not preclude.
I would use the word expedited instead of immediate.
Okay.
False sense of hope there.
Expedited.
There's nothing immediate about our work.
Action.
We still did it.
The tic-tac chair?
Yeah. You want to put it only on the chair?
Or the tic-tac committee? Well, the reason I say chair is because it has to be referred to this group by the chair. Where does this say that?
It is, but if you just leave it as the committee, then the committee acts through the chair, then it's covered.
Right.
Okay.
Again, something else we don't have to codify.
This policy does not preclude the committee from taking expedited action for the direction of the TICFAC committee. This policy does not prevent the funding methodology committee from taking expedited action for the direction of the TICFAC committee. Yeah? Any other changes? I have the no later than as well.
Good work.
Thank you. Is that a motion?
It's a motion from Mike.
Can we keep going? Should we wait for...
Let's wait for
a while. I think we should wait for Judge Conklin. Nothing happened to the chair.
So I guess since we're sitting here and it's pending, might as well talk about it. So I guess the only question is, does that invalidate there being any deadline?
I think the deadline should set an outer limit, not an inner.
Yeah, right.
Proposed changes in
language.
So we're on. I know I stepped out. Right.
And I think we're ready for a motion, but we're adding no later than March or April here.
And I still want to make sure we're discussing item two, right? On the agenda, I just want to make sure because I need to be clear again. Me and being the rules guy, and I apologize, but we have certain items designated discussion and certain items designated action.
Yes, this is on our.
So I just want to make sure we all understand it and what the status is.
Yes, this is item two action.
Right, so the prior one was a discussion item, not an action item.
Yes.
One.
One was the action.
Right. And no, one was discussion. Right,
we're
so what we're doing is just I have to be fair. We're making a recommendation, and the action will be approved in the next meeting. I have to be fair when I stepped by and said, "What's discussion?" And it's not an action. So item one is actually a discussion item, of which the action will be taken at the next meeting.
There aren't any action items.
Well, that's exactly right. That's my point.
Okay.
So these are discussion items of which the action will be taken at the next meeting. And again, I know I'm being loaded. And I did actually, whoever teased me, I did actually read Robert's Rules of Orders. I shouldn't have. But if it says discussion, it's discussion.
But this is the one item that is an action item.
Yeah, so it's a discussion and possible action
item. And in parentheses after the title, too, I'll load that.
Item two.
Oh, gee. They're all listed as discussion.
Well, so what rules? The header or the parenthetical comment?
That one says action.
That's because that's okay. That's because this. That's why. So this open meeting agenda versus.
No, because the open meeting agenda has at the very header of all the discussion items, discussion and possible action items. Then each item has whether it's a discussion item in parentheses or an action item.
Correct.
That's our template.
Let's not use those parenthetical comments.
So.
In the future.
I think we have to put whether it's an action item or a discussion item. What I can do
well,
is
well, on each
the,
item, but not the header. Maybe.
I'll take it off the header.
Take it off the header, right.
Yeah. So it's
for future
both? Meetings.
Yeah.
Right, so
that's
these are now designated, and I'm looking now at page four of our published materials. These are all designated discussion items.
Well, I would just think in the future, the agenda would be better if we listed the action items and listed the discussion items in separate
just like
categories.
They do at the council. Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well,
right.
We'll do that.
Right. Right.
I'm still learning.
That's okay. That's okay.
We're all learning.
Right.
So.
I'm not sure what that means then with the discussion we just had, whether we could have a motion to propose the this.
Final action be approved at the next meeting.
Discussed at the next meeting?
Yes. So could we have that be a conference call?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We have to do this again then?
No.
Okay.
We can just have a brief conference call to approve them. As action to approve the discussion as an action item.
Okay.
All right.
Which also gives us a heads up or a foot forward, I guess, also in getting the materials to show the recommendations that you're discussing today. So they'll be ready, clean for your review and motion on the next conference call. Okay.
Sorry for that.
That's fine. So on this one, on number two, then, the adjustment process, for Judge Conklin. We've added a phrase, and this policy does not preclude the funding methodology subcommittee from taking expedited action per the direction of the TICFAC committee.
Great.
And we had actually talked about saying no later than March or April, but did we decide we did not need that?
I think no later is important because this way it says no matter when we decide, they take it up on their April or their March-April meeting. So if we really did able to get it through quicker for some reason, it would be – they could take it up as soon as it was ready for them.
But no later than, right.
But no later than. Well, but what if it's not ready? I mean, what if we're still evaluating?
Well,
I guess this is a guideline, but if saying no later means there is an absolute.
It says there is an absolute now. Yeah. It just lets it come earlier. Yeah, the way it reads is the absolute. If they get it into us, then we would get it.
If
they
had it in November, it still won't get there. Okay. So we're leaving no later. And then do we have a motion? We can't do a motion. We're recommending that this go to an action item at the next meeting.
Do we have to do this at every meeting? I've never had a meeting where it has...
Candidly, this is nothing more than me, and so I'll take the hit for this.
I didn't catch it as it was set forth in the agenda.
So it's set forth in the agenda as a discussion item.
Got it.
So I'm just trying to be true to the agenda. But we can say it's the discussion has been completed. Any further discussion? No further discussion. Therefore... we can then say either by minutes or at the next meeting, the discussions were held at the prior meeting, no further discussion was held, move to approve.
Can I, I guess a point of order, what are you supposed to say? I don't know. If these are ones where we feel the discussion has been had, is it an item, either the last one or this one, that we could do by an email vote?
We can confirm.
Sure. Let me make sure that is appropriate. Yes.
We'll look at the rules.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, if it's not, then we have to have another meeting. That's fine.
Right.
But
understood.
If it's one that could go out, be posted publicly, here's what the recommendations are.
You know,
get the public comment back in and the vote.
Okay, so now item three?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So actually, we need to also open this because he's going to give us an update on this. Informal budget.
So you want to jump to four?
Sure.
All right, so Suzanne, do you want to give that? Well, okay, so several months ago, actually over a year ago, several of the small courts started sharing some of their concerns with the BLS factor in regards to not necessarily the comparison we're going to jump right back on three.
We moved item three. You're here.
And which one is that one?
Civil assessment budget change proposal, the BCP for civil assessments.
Okay. So at the Budget Advisory Committee meeting, we had a discussion about what sort of structural changes should we be pursuing as far as the budget. And picking up on a discussion and an actual BCP that was submitted last year, it was this idea that we take the portion that of civil assessment revenues that currently are deposited in the trial court trust fund and then used to distribute to all courts, that be something that would get bought out by the general fund. So that was sort of the basis and the beginnings of the discussion of civil assessments. But then it's evolved, and the discussion has been, should civil assessment revenue really be something that's retained by trial courts and the branch, and the concern about it being a purely retained revenue and its role in traffic, sort of the traffic process, and whether folks appear or pay and their failure to do so, and the fact that those that added civil assessments directly benefit the trial courts. So the discussion has been, should we look at an alternative method to that revenue source, but not necessarily end the collection of it, but rather have it be collected by the trial courts, but deposited into the state general fund, and let that be a state revenue, and that we just need funding necessary to cover our operations, so that we're not
dealing it as an offset.
Yes, it is now just a direct funding to the branch as a general fund expense, rather than a process of issuing the assessment, the collection, and then the retention by the branch in that fashion.
So, Glocko, just as backup, the CX committee approved it unanimously. What was the trial court budget advisory committee? Was it the entire committee or was it subcommittee that also discussed it?
It was the entire committee, and it came as part of the budget change proposal discussion.
Yeah. So I just wanted to remind people this has already been approved as a good idea.
So one of the questions that has been is what is our request amount, whether or not, because we had increasing civil assessments up to I think about $160 million level, and then
the plummet.
Well, I thought we agreed we were going to use a three-year average.
I did too.
Yeah,
I
thought this was decided already.
So this is more of an information back to this group because of its involvement with, and thank you for reminding me because yes, I think you're right that. Talked about that period, but just the idea that there is this discussion of civil assessments, but what it means, And obviously, to the extent that it becomes general fund, what does that mean in terms of our overall application as far as, is it WAFM dollars? Is it buying truck or operations? And what might that mean in terms of our discussions on our work plan? If there's folks who have other thoughts that they want to add on to that conversation and what?
So where does this budget change proposal sit right now?
It sits as an approved funding request to be explored more. So the Judicial Branch Budget Committee was presented this, as I think 24 different BCPs for whether or not they should proceed to the more full-blown budget change development.
Would this be council's internal budget?
ABC, right. So
I'm going to make sure I get my
committee. So, ABC is
so
the internal one that approves all BCPs.
Based on more, so there'll be, so part of the process is that these BCPs come back to or go to appropriate advisory committees for their input and any revision. And then it'll ultimately go back to the Judicial Branch Budget Committee for them to determine to what extent there's been sufficient meat that then can go meat on the bones so that the council can have something to think about going to the Department of Finance.
So we just don't know whether that's going to happen yet or not. They haven't.
So at this point, they said, yes, move to the second phase of the budget change proposal development. And so we're just sort of circling back and letting you folks know about where it stands in the internal BCP development process, which is that it's moved to the next phase and it'll return back to the JBBC in June for their consideration over all of the BCPs.
For 18-19?
Yes, that then they would make recommendations to council as to what the budget package would be going to the Department of Finance for consideration for 18-19.
But it does need to go to take back for consideration and input. Before
I mean, we will revert. We're going to take an issue back that they've already approved to assure that it is going forward, especially because it's part of the process. So while it seems almost circular, it is necessary as part of our process to ensure that everybody is aware of what the JBBC has done and to affirm that it is going forward and back to them for any input. We have that similar issues with JCTC and other committees necessary to make sure they're aware of it. Because we're concerned was in the past is that maybe these issues would come up, and if there was any cross issues that they weren't necessarily all fully touched, so to speak. So we're making sure that we're all still on the same page about where we're at, especially because the budget development process, even at the state level, can influence where we might be on our BCPs.
So, Slotko, this new budget committee will look at all 27 requests mm-hmm. or whatever there are. They'll prioritize them. They'll decide which ones to seek. And then mm-hmm. you're going to, yes?
They'll make recommendations to the council.
Okay. Then the council will decide which ones to seek. Okay.
So this is truly just an update and a discussion. Mm-hmm. This is just an update more than a
Yeah, I mean, we have to be able to report back to them that you still are supporting it if it came from you and any issues that we think are necessary to consider for their information.
Right. And so the second part of that conversation was next steps at discussion as far as we had a special subcommittee that had talked about civil assessments and the effect on WAFM or not, and a lot of time talking about just, you know, what Blanca was talking about, the MOE and the intersecting pieces of how civil assessment comes in and out of it. So are there next steps that we want to take while this is happening? Do we want to continue the conversation, or are we wanting to step away from it until the BCP, et cetera? Yes.
When what's the status of the Hirschberg and other bills that would suspend a driver's license? Because I think two things. If civil assessments go away, the Trial Court Trust Fund will have a $48 million hole.
Setting aside the other $100 million.
Yeah, but that is a true hole. That
yeah.
is a true hole
yeah.
that the Trial Court Trust Fund will make up. So what's the status of the driver's license hole bill?
The Hertzberg bill is still in process. It's still first house.
Do we think there's any chance that driver's license holds and anything that will impact our ability to collect will happen next year?
Holds are one issue that is part of the Hirschberg bill, but the hold in of itself is a proposal in the governor's budget. So that's a narrow versus the Hirschberg bill, which does lots of different things.
Okay.
Indigency hearings, notices,
Okay, because to answer your question directly, I think that if we think there's a chance for the BCP, we should wait. But if we think that there's a possibility civil assessments are going to go away, we have a whole new problem.
Right.
So I have a question. If in fact we were to, if WAFMA exists at 100% fully funded by the legislature, would courts still need in any way civil assessment?
Well, when we present the WAFM gap at a high level, and it's in this discussion, is that the gap also includes a consideration of other revenues that are coming into the truck, but that's why we have this issue on the table as far as should civil assessments be considered as part of funding available to meet the workload. So at the statewide level, we've taken off a couple hundred million dollars of revenues that are not part of the funding that we say funds WAFM directly, but because they're still in question about whether they do or not, we say that it's under consideration, but it drops the need. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, and I guess what I'm trying to say is a strategy. If we're really trying to get just one strategy to the legislature and the governor, that we've created a model, WAFM, that if it were funded adequately, that's all we need to fully fund and run our courts. And you can take our civil assessments that we collect now, and we don't really care what you can do whatever you want to do with them. If in fact in the exchange we get the full funding.
If you bought into the total. Well, I mean, at this point we're saying it's a supplement to the funding we need. So if we were to identify the full WAFM need of $600 million,
yeah,
and they did that, then we could get out of the business.
Yeah,
but that's not how we're portraying it because the structure currently provides for those revenues to be collected.
Yeah. So I guess I just think if we were somehow to make that single strategy, that then all 58 courts can say to all of their legislatures everywhere that we aren't in charge of prisons, we aren't in charge of our jails, and we shouldn't be in charge of fines. That puts us in a conflicted position all the way through. That we really just believe, and now in light of the fact that if our courts are going to be called on, which they to deal with protecting vulnerables and all those kind of things and all that stuff, that it may be that the legislature may change their opinion of us a little bit, and to be able to say we look at it this way, yes, but if we really said we just want to try to say what we need and take it away, and if you can make money off it, great. If that's what you want to do for fines, if you want to give people breaks on fines, it's your money. So I don't know. It just seems to me that if we were just to stop talking, everybody spent a ton of time. I'm a latecomer putting this together to say this is how instead of giving us, how much civil assessments do you get? And do you really need full funding? And it gives them again another out to sort of fudge.
But our reaction is the fact that the legislature has been reluctant to deal with fines and fees as an entire issue.
Yeah.
So we're left with dealing with sort of that which is seems the most legitimate to deal with, given it's the inherent issue that we have. So while we have told the legislature that we do think that an overall fines and fees discussion and how all the programs that are funded from those revenues should be funded, that's the aspirational discussion. But we're sort of remanded to this discussion of driver's license holds and what they may mean on revenues, and we're trying to engage on civil assessments as part of that because of what the problems are that are resulting in issuing it and also retaining it.
So, Judge, I think the short answer is yes.
You think so? So you think there's enough of a handle on civil assessments, and we've got enough of an idea of civil assessments and MOEs and everything that we can say as a branch-wide, from a branch-wide perspective, we'll trade off. You take fees, fines, and civil assessments, and you do what you want with them, and you fund us at 100% of our WAFM need.
Well, that's the LAO's suggestion, is all that money gets deposited.
Right. So let me say yes. Let me clarify two pieces of that. So one is, and as Sherry said, and since I'm technically here as the SEAC liaison, right, that's why I have a place, is that SEAC, as the core executive, talked about this issue and said ultimately that money for civil assessment money should go to the general fund, and that that should be in exchange for a like amount for just 3 years. I don't think we decided at that meeting what that dollar amount should be, and that comes into us as funding. Now, what as funding,
okay,
right? Now, what has not been defined and what is on our work plan that we just talked about is, well, then how does that fit as it applies? You know, how do you then allocate that money, right? I have my own opinion, which it doesn't matter this answer, but so we haven't gotten there. That's what's on the work plan for us to address as part of, right? That will be our work plan item next year. But I think the answer is if we got all of our WAFM funding.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, Sako, I want to make sure that I understand fully. This part and parcel, this BCP, also assures the buyout of any existing MOEs. Of course,
it would. It would have to, yeah. I mean,
it has to. Because otherwise we have a double hole then if we don't get it.
Right, no, it's for that $120, $140, $150 million value.
But I have to say, Sako, it's important that we're looking at the whole piece, but the $48 million is a debt that the legislature imposed on us, and the council made a bad decision.
No comment on the last part, just that this is the situation we're in.
But it is a debt to the trust or trust.
Yeah, every court that had a civil assessment program at the time, there was an amount identified that
that's
needed
exactly
to go
right.
That needed to go into the trust or trust fund to fund-based allocations.
But so my point is that to count them the same is scary, because to me, if the governor or the legislature takes away that component, they owe us at a minimum to fill that hole, because their solution to fill was the additional money on civil assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make that argument. I agree we lump it. I am 100% with you. We give them all the money. They fill us 100% at WAFM, and we're all going to be fine. But we can't continue to treat those two amounts
fair.
The same, in the sense that the legislator's solution was to say, we're increasing your civil assessment to fill the hole, go fill it, and now we're lumping them together. That's a debt that we'll live with forever, and if it goes away, it'll come out of the top court trust fund.
When you talk about lumping it and talking about turning over the revenue, does that also include turning over the duty to collect, or is that going to remain with the court?
Those are separate.
What?
Those are separate discussions about our.
I don't think it can be a separate discussion.
Well, I think you do say it goes away. Because
I agree it should go to them. I don't think it can be a separate discussion, though.
The duty to collect, you can give up today and give it right back to the county.
Right. We have the county obligation by statute.
Right. So, I mean,
disagree. We can't.
I don't need anybody to tell me I can do that. I just give it up tomorrow.
So, yeah, let's.
So, the reason it's on here is there a role for us to play, or are there steps we want to take while the CCP is making its way through the process?
I don't think there is anything we can do.
Maybe it's in BCP health.
So, is there a role for us to play in supporting it or not?
Well,
I think we better have a quick meeting after the governor's budget comes out in May. Because won't we have an idea at that point whether or not the final budget will include the elimination of license holds? And won't we
Well, they're not going to change. I mean, it's unlikely that they'll change their trailer bill language.
Then we're in trouble. All righty.
So there's just a question, maybe way out of line, but when we had this drop because of amnesty that we could show, you were reporting, as I recall,
I don't think it was amnesty, Sam. I think it's the fact that traffic citations are down, in my case, 30% over
52%.
The 5 years.
52%. My filings are down 52%.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to show a connection. But, we discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
But the conclusion was that the Department of Finance said that that was local funds. There was no reason to replace them, or mm-hmm. they didn't find a reason to replace them. Why would they think that there's a reason to replace any civil assessment?
This would be a swap, though. I mean, our goal is take the revenue and fund us at a level that we've determined is the appropriate level.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fund shift and a relationship shift versus just short revenue. Because then we have other policy reasons as to why why this should happen, not just a matter of perception, real or not, debated here about revenue loss and why it happens.
And it would create other issues unless we got fully funded,
mm-hmm.
because those courts that are collecting versus those who are not,
we can't just treat that pot of whatever that money is the same.
Sure.
You know, I guess I would look at it differently. If we gave up civil assessments and were fully funded,
yes.
I would not worry about
I wouldn't
that.
Either. But if they don't fully fund us and it's just a swap issue, then I think we have another problem to deal with.
But that's why I said I think there's agreement that what was discussed at SEAC was that in light of, you know, a lot of people have been raising questions about fines and fees, even though it's my understanding, although I wasn't here at the time, the judicial branch was very vocal about the increase in civil assessments and the perception that that can create for people, that hadn't been listened to, but this was another reminder for us to bring that up again, and that our discussion is that civil assessment money can create that perception, and a perception that we don't believe is appropriate on the judicial branch side, so they should take the money and they should swap it back. So I think we have agreement there. What I was trying to say is what we haven't talked about and what I think we just agreed is on our work plan for this group next year is, well, let's say that happens. Let's say they don't fully fund WAFM, but they agree to swap the funding. How do you allocate that funding that comes back in now? We have not decided how we would deal with that, and that's what I think is on our work plan that we just talked about is, let's say that happened or it didn't and we still collect civil assessment money. How are we going to deal with that? So I think that is still outstanding. Now, if they fully funded us, not an issue.
If they right. do that, it's going to be on our work plan whether we want it to be or not.
Right, yeah. But
yeah.
I mean,
correct.
Yeah.
But,
sure.
You know, and if they don't, it is.
One of the things that seems clear to me is before when the governor or thought we had enough money was they said, they look at your uncollected debt. We'll give you more civil assessment and go aggressively get that money. And then, whether anybody's aggressive or not, then they said, wait a minute, those poor people that you're getting that money from need amnesty and all those other things, since they've really given up, they've changed is that right? I mean, before it was like, get that money, and then come, once you've collected the debt, then come back to us and ask us for more money. And now that it's like, well, now don't collect those debts because actually, amnesty was originally developed to create revenue.
Oh, right. For things like peace officer standards
exactly.
and training programs
exactly.
and other state
until
entities that were relying on their split of that.
Until it became unpopular.
So I think what we've, just to get back to item three specifically as a discussion item, I think we've agreed that we're going to continue to await the outcome of the BCP process, and our next meeting will probably, the outcome of that will probably govern where we go then. Sam, did you have a final comment?
Just a real final question about does the legislature see it in their purview to make a decision, to lead the decision and make the decision on fines and fees? In other words, does the branch risk offending the legislature by getting out in front of this issue?
No.
Okay. I don't think we're making a decision on
right.
We're basically
no,
trying
I'm,
to get us out of the middle, just
I mean,
make us whole.
They've inserted
you guys,
themselves anyway.
What do you want to do?
They've inserted themselves with there's a Ting bill that, you know, Corey mentioned about civil assessments
uh-huh.
and, you know, the ability to pay and what circumstances under which, you know, someone should or shouldn't pay it. It's a contemporary issue for us to be party to, but we are reminding them of their role in terms of as the policymakers for fines and fees and the fact that our budgetary structures are live on it.
So I think Mike's comment, and we'll move on. I think if I read your comment, you're right. We just want to get out of the way. They can do what they want to do with it. Just do with it, and
just don't hurt us in the process.
Right. Right. Okay. So item five, item four now, or
Judge Coughlin, is I want to ensure that it's on our work plan. It's
mm-hmm.
number.
Absolutely. You're right, Sherry.
Oh, it is. It's three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
good,
it.
Good catch. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So item four, scenarios presented to small courts concerning impact of BLS. On WAFM calculations.
Okay.
Now, we have a public comment on this as well. We've already seen it.
Yes, there was a letter.
It's from Lake. And just make sure everybody has it and everybody's considered it, just like the public comments we had in the room.
So, basically, we've heard about BLS in different contexts, but basically, Lake has brought forward a good description of this situation that apparently is more of the issue, and that is not competition with the local county or city or other governmental agency, but rather competition court to court when you're sharing a border. In their situation, the two courts on each side of them are a 1+ BLS. Lake is a 0.75 or 0.76 BLS. Therefore, they're losing people to the neighboring counties. So they asked us to take a look at this, and so I'm going to turn it over to Suzanne if you want to walk through the materials on the calculations.
This happened in January of this year. The small courts had wanted to come together and talk about the impact of GLS. And so Colin was there, did a presentation on WAFM, the educational thing, and all the different ways. And the small courts over there were given the direction to come up with four scenarios, or to give us a list of what scenarios they wanted us to run. And so those scenarios are on page 14. And they were all related to looking at different BLS factors. So the first column A, just gives what is actually in the BLS for the 16-17 WAFM allocation. Scenario 1 says look at the cluster 1 course, that's column B, and bring them all to a minimum of 1. And the impact of doing that can be found in column H, and that would add another $4.8 million of funding that would need to be allocated if we brought everyone up to that level. Scenario 2 says look at those with a FTE of under 50 and bring them to a minimum BLS level of 1. Everyone understanding what that's doing with, you know. So, and that scenario impact added another $5 million of WAFM funds that we need to go WAFM. Scenario 3 said look at the clusters 1 and 2 courts and bring them up to 1. That identified an additional.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but scenario 1 is column H and scenario 2 is column I?
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you.
And then scenario 3 to bring the clusters 1 and 2, which is column D on the DLS factor, and column J is a 15.9 additional WAFM need. Scenario 4, bringing all of the courts up to a BLS factor of 1. That is another $20 million, and that's in column K. And then Colin threw in a freebie scenario, and that is a scenario 5, which is instead of looking at BLS, what if we look at actual court salary needs to the average 7A salary need of all. So not looking at the BLS factor, but looking at within our own internal, all the courts, what their 7A needs or salary is versus what each court is individually, and coming up with a ratio similar to the BLS.
Yeah, no, because what you're doing is you're including all counties?
Yeah. Okay. But it was just a throw in there to look at, if you don't want to look at BLS as an identification for salary and comparing it to other state entities, what if we just look internal?
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's column 5, and that was a $5.4 million WAFM need.
But we didn't look at anything regional that was trying to.
No, we did not. That was not requested.
So these scenarios were what was presented to CPTCC in January when they asked to talk about BLS. Right. And so we wanted you to see what they saw before we started.
Well, and actually, these were the scenarios they asked us to run out of that meeting, and then it was sent to them all by email.
Except for 5.
No, 5 was sent to them. They didn't ask for 5.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They didn't ask for
5. They didn't ask for 5. So.
I have a clarification.
Sure.
So column A,
mm-hmm.
which is their average BLS factor,
yes.
just to clarify, is not the BLS factor that is used for all those courts in WAFM.
I thought it was.
Well. So for the courts that are under 50, if they fall below the median for all courts under 50, they are given the median. So this looks to me like, I'm just pointing out, like Sierra, for example, at 0.62, I am positive Sierra does not get 0.62. So they get brought up to the median of those courts that are under 50. That was one of the things that we did when we looked at the small courts a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it is. It's in the FTE adjustment.
Can I just tell you, people started knowing I was on the whichever committee I was on and contacting me and saying, you know, we have under 1 and, you know, really feeling like that's, you know, unfair. Then Ira Kaufman was sitting in one meeting, and that's when that kind of all came up. Not which meeting it was that came up at. But he was quick to bail on just having it be the cluster 1 courts and leaving the cluster 2 and other courts off. My feeling is simply this. When minimum wage raises and it keeps raising, nobody says we pay 75 cents on the dollar. And so
In fact, we've already calculated our need because we're so close to minimum wage now with our employees. What we have to do to stay above minimum wage, the percentage above minimum wage, to keep our employees at least above that, which is a different discussion for us. We know how much that is. We don't have it now to do that. And so, I mean, I understand it's a bunch of money. I don't know how you phase it in with all the other needs that come in place, but I think we really need to say that nobody should get less than a dollar. You know, we were talking about what other state entities do, like DMV, you know, whether or not, and they don't get paid less for living in Humboldt County. They may get a supplement for living more expensive, but they don't get less of a salary for living there. And so the other part about our VLS may look strange, but and it may change over time with now that marijuana is legal. But people, our housing costs are more than Sacramento, and because people have an underground economy. So, you know, so it really isn't, and everybody can say their own story for their county. And that's why when you start looking at what it is, you have to look at the bottom line. But Sherry's right, when you start looking at how does that affect me, what does that do? And until we have all the money we need, it's hard to talk about that in a way that makes sense. But I think as a group, we should say that our goal is to get there, that how we do that, when we do it. But it does feel very insulting when you're doing the work. In some courts, you know, you have to have not just one system expert. You have to have somebody that knows everything, and they're getting paid. It's a sort of insulting piece of all of it. And so whether we need to say everybody gets one, and then we argue that it bumps, you know, the people that get 1.42, does that bump them up more than that? But every time you see it, it's great, but, you know, grades on it, whether it's really 62 cents on the dollar, whether it got to 75 cents on the dollar, it's still, and the other part about it, of why I think if we were adding that as a proposal of why they should bump up our base, our salary from the entire branch as a BCP or something, is that if they get paid more money, they'll pay more taxes. And it goes back, you know, it's not like it's money that's lost forever. All calculated, they'll pay their taxes, it goes back into the general pot through that way. So it just is something that I think we need to acknowledge is where we want to go, when we go, how we go, because everybody has needs is different. But we just should say, that's right, we need to be moving in that direction.
So if I could add to that, a comment to that. So when we looked at this for that year and looked at BLS and worked with a number of the small courts to bring them into the model, one of the comments that was made related to the BLS, and although we did increase it, and yeah, I know there's some comments going on, well, no, their BLS shows that, yes, but we modify the median salary, so in effect, their BLS is not that low. So it's just which way you do the algebra. But when we talked about it, there were comments that were made, you know, to me as part of the, you know, sitting in Rebecca's chair, about, yes, we're rural courts, in many cases, rural courts with a small labor base, and so we need more money to pay than less money. And I'll say from my perspective, I heard that and thought, well, okay, but we're never going to solve that, and I don't know how we sell that to the State Department of Finance or somebody else. So, you know, I don't know how we fix that problem. So we tried to do the best we could to find at least a median that said, well, if you have a supervisor, you're blowing this out of the water. You could never meet that low value. What's been different over the last couple of years for me in listening to, judges from those courts and other court execs is the part that I didn't really understand, which is this competition. And so when you're Lake County and you're losing people to Napa, and so Napa's sitting at over one and you're sitting at under one, and that's what, you know, Krista calls out, there is a regional impact. And so then you start pulling the now trained resources from another county across the border because they have a BLS factor that raises it up. And, I mean, I hadn't certainly thought about that regionalization piece. Tanya's giving me a look as I see all of her employees, but that's a different issue.
It is the issue.
That's part of it. So that has been the realization on my side of something that we didn't really address. And there is something there that we need to talk about and think about and really spend some time determining how do we balance that out and how do we sell it to the other branches. Because I think we did miss it, and I think we need to do something to fix it.
So I agree with what has been said, but I do, and it's somewhat related to our next agenda item, which is talking about display of material in WAFA because it's, you know, I do recall that we adjusted them up to the median salary, but it's hard to know that from looking at the display. I also know the floor funding was put in place to help some of these issues. So
I wonder if we could recalculate, not by looking at BLS, because in Waltham it takes BLS, it does subtract, and then it is addition, and, you know, so I would be curious what the numbers would be if when they hit the floor, it's going to impact their floor funding. If you're above the floor, you don't get floor. So, you know, there will be adjustments on what some of these things are. So, I'm not opposed to considering some adjustments, and I agree with you. I completely understand your point. I just think there's other components within Waltham that were not considered when you just look at BLS, like the median salary, like the floor funding.
So this is a discussion item, and I'm just curious as to what the group thinks we should do to move this along for our next meeting consideration as far as whether there are other scenarios you want staff to contemplate. Jake mentioned a regional type of thing, and I don't know if, Jake, if you had in mind with that a BLS factor or the other thing that maybe is a short-term fix. I equate this to one we talked about with right. Pardon me?
The dependency council.
Yeah. We said, okay, we recognize it's a critical short term for those courts. The short term fix, and then step back, sort of like we're doing on Waltham, over the next year to come up with the new method.
But I would want to know the delta between the BLS
and
the raise to the median salary, because it may look worse than what it is. And that also helps cluster ones a lot, but it doesn't help cluster twos and there's a few cluster threes. I think all the cluster fours are above one.
I don't have the email with me, and I apologize. I should have. One of the BLS factors does actually raise, when you raise cluster ones, it raises a few of the clusters because it impacted the median. And it raised the median income for the cluster two courts. Not all cluster two courts, but some.
So I guess I would just come into your point. I mean, I know we're not taking action today, so it would be for whatever on the next one. And I'm cognizant of our sort of April number, so I'm a little concerned about that. I do think we need to look at this item. This is the one that I said I think we need to put this on our agenda for next year, of maybe a regional concept of how do we address these issues where we have courts bordering each other that really do serve the same labor population. That's going to take us more than 2 months. We're not going to get it done. So I guess maybe we could have on the next agenda. I think my challenge in moving to one is that that's a huge dollar impact, because there are some cluster three courts that are in there, and I don't know how you justify doing it only for smaller courts and not for larger courts. So I guess my suggestion would be looking at scenarios that move those courts that are under, move everybody to 0.9, that gives a benefit to, you know, move this a little bit as a temporary measure, saying we don't think we got this exactly right. Let's do something in the interim. And that we put on the agenda next year to look at how do we deal with this regional issue. And that at least gives some short term. And I don't know how much, to Sherry's point, I don't know how much that's going to be, because I don't know where the floor fits into that necessarily.
Yeah, we need it, because it sounds like we didn't consider the floor offset. Because if they get the floor funding is gone. Right.
It did. All of the dollar impact that you're seeing included any changes to the floor funding.
It did.
It's just not detailed out in here what the impact of the floor was. But it was putting the new BLS numbers into the Waltham model and calculating the new Waltham need, and that automatically calculated floor funding.
So it would subtract the need of floor if they hit the floor.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
That is in the dollar.
Some of those that get the floor, numbers would be adjusted as far as the means.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And for why 0.9, from my standpoint, is that there are two cluster three courts that are below one, if I remember correctly looking at it, and one of them is fairly large. And so by going to 0.9, they're going to see some impact too, but that overall impact of the system is not that great. If you go all the way to one, there's a fairly sizable cluster three court that is going to add millions, which is actually probably more for their one court than it is for the balance of all the others. And I think that just starts to, as we heard in public comment, we have courts that are in a tough spot. Well, when we do this sort of thing, it is shifting money away from those courts that already feel that way. So the larger that change, the more that is going to be felt by the others. So, just trying to find a solution that is helpful.
My feeling is, the fact that we say we've heard the issue and we're doing something that is really
would be significant. So for the next meeting then, since this is a discussion item, would we maybe put this on the next meeting with those scenarios, like a 0.9, maybe, you know, 0.951, so we could compare those and decide whether we wanted to take action or not on those and continue this discussion?
Well, we need to know if the numbers make them no longer floor-funded courts or not.
And I made a note of that, so that what we'll do is, Suzanne, maybe we can mark the changes in red on floor funding so that it's easy to pick those people out. And then we can kind of have that discussion at the next meeting and put it as an action item in case we want to take an action. How's that?
Everybody good with that? Suzanne, did you have a final?
Well, I just had thought maybe, JP, you wanted to add this to the workload plan.
The work plan to look at how do we address regional.
I just want to make sure that was
separate and apart from the stopgap.
Right. Correct. That'll be looking at where the long term, the longer term solution is. And that's going to take some work.
You know, it's just a really tough. I look at Kern, who is the most underfunded county in the state of California. At what, they're still at 68% of needs, right? And so even under, they would be spending $60,000 to fund the initiative. So you know, it's tough. That's, yeah, I mean, it's because you have extremely underfunded courts. So I don't know whether the scenario wants to run. I mean, in some ways, it's the one. So anyway, I mean, I actually think if you ran this scenario at 80, 85, and 90,
to look at it,
because obviously it hits, you know, but just do this 70. So 80 would have, you know, with the understanding.
We give them separately.
Something's happening, and we're working on it. But again,
so should Jason go from, besides just the 90, go 80, 85, and 90, see what happens.
I think we should look at it because, you know, we're looking at one. That's the problem when you look at little pieces is the whole, you know, the goal of equity and funding, like Kern, they're going to take a hit. And that's why it's part of what we're talking about as we try to move these things along is really all we want is, but WAFM's not an allocation tool, it's a funding tool, and we really want the legislature to see it that way, then again, the problem gets solved.
First of all,
yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we'll start with 80 scenario and go up from there and put it on for action on the next. Okay, so we are on to the next item, which is simplify the spreadsheet displays. So there has been a number of emails, calls, meetings that ask for a simplification of the WAFM format. And so what we wanted to do is throw it out for discussion as to where or how we think we can simplify it. For one, probably the most important reason is so that we can explain it and people who are coming into the WAFM process after the initial discussions can understand it. But basically, just so we can keep up with it, one of the things that I've had two or three people tell me now that they have not been able to either calculate or they've calculated incorrectly or they actually have an old version because something else has changed, et cetera, et cetera. And so it would be, I think, beneficial if we could have a format that was standard, and then we can also we can follow it through if possible. So I throw it out for discussion.
Is there a way to very not simplify WAFM, that's campy, but to simplify the way WAFM is explained and presented?
Well, I would say yes, especially after the fifth year, because all of this, we start with the historical, we subtract and add.
Right.
I mean, that would be our new base.
Well, if that was gone,
yeah,
that solves half the problem.
Right, and actually, that we should make that a goal because we're not dealing with the historical funding and the dollar-for-dollar math and subtracting and then adding. That becomes a new base, and we can create a much simpler formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one way would be, for the sake of discussion, if, in fact, we decide ultimately it was decided down the road that WAFM concluded after the fifth year,
not concluded, but that it would no, it would not roll out beyond the five. It would be very easy to present the numbers at that point.
Well,
easier.
Or even if we create a new funding methodology after the break while we assess it, we would develop a display that's much more simple. I mean, every single year the federal courts adjust their funding based on filings, but it's not like this. It's not as complicated.
Well, it's because they reached a state of stability a long time ago.
No.
Well, in terms of going on back in historical.
Oh, yeah, model, yeah, right.
And we're not, we just haven't gotten there.
We haven't done it yet.
Any other suggestions for size historical recalculation?
So you're sitting down trying to explain it to somebody else new to your court, including a judge.
So doesn't it also depend on if we're successful on this whole strategy that I'm hearing about trying to get it fully funded under WAFM with these new, you know, getting them back to, a lot of it depends on where we are with the funding level.
I just think it's easy. I mean, to finally get 58 counties saying the exact same thing to their legislature, saying we're, you know, to be able to say if, to be able to put out to counties, if you were fully funded under WAFM, the current existing model, as secret, as weird as it may be, as hard as it is to understand, I mean, try to calculate, you know, trial support. You can do that mathematically if you want to, but they've got a computer that does it much quicker. But having said that, it's like, if it was fully funded, what would each of our counties get? When you see that number, you say, I can live with that. And then once we have that, we're able to say to the legislature, hey, we don't want to be income producing. We're not, that's not our job. We want to be faithful to things. Then every county, every court, every employee of the court, every judge can talk to the legislature saying the same for the simple thing. And you know, it's like chipping away at an iceberg to some extent. It, you know, it'll sound like a lot of money, and but you know, they can do what they want to do with this part of it and that part of it. I just think that finally gets. Because what WAFM does now, we talked about before, it basically decides, you know, who bleeds the most, and you know, and how many limbs you might have to keep cutting off, and so it gets hard to be generous when you don't feel like you have anything, you know, left. And then it also says, well, you know, but you know, look over here, we've done this better than you, and it puts us in competition in ways that really is unhealthy for us to try to be a united branch. And maybe I'm pushing at windmills, or maybe I'm being too Pollyanna, but I just think that if we finally got it simple so that all 58 courts got to say the exact same thing to the legislature, that, and even if they held us, even if we threw in something about, you know, showing what we spent on our budget money so that, you know, they're not afraid that we're, you know, doing wild, crazy things with the money. But I just think that it's too hard. When, because you do have to, as a PJ, you do have to worry about your individual court surviving. And when you feel like it's not going to float, you can't keep it afloat, you really are going to throw, you know, throw your ring anywhere you can catch hold. And there may be other solutions to the problem, but not immediate ones. So I don't know if we can ever get there, but I wish we could.
Well, if I could add just real quickly, I mean, that there's two components here. One is what I think we've said from the beginning, and tried to explain even when we started to roll this model out at the very start, is look at what your need says, and then ask yourself, if I had that amount of money, would I be okay? And the answer, you know, I think with only one or two exceptions, the answer was generally yes, I'd be fine. And that hasn't changed. The issue is still we receive between 70 and 75% of the total funding need, and that's the problem, is that what you're actually getting is nowhere near that, and what's happening, and what I've said all along, is that we were here, and we're all coming to here, and so the courts that are coming down to that average, it hurts, and the courts that are coming up from wherever the depths of their, you know, despair was before, it's hard for them to say, here's the things that are better for us, because they know there are others that are coming down, and that's hard. So I think we already have that message if we just said it. Now, I think part of what gets lost is, I think your analogy is perfect. We have a child support calculator. You could do it all on your own, but why would you bother doing it? This was all laid out in detail for everyone to begin with, so everyone knew what were all the components and did we capture everything and did we get there.
We did it intentionally, this detail, to be extremely transparent.
Right.
We did regional meetings.
But it's confusing.
We went all over the state to make sure people knew the components. There was a lot of public input for this.
But it does feel like we're at the point where we have to simplify it so that we can explain it so people can feel like they don't get lost on page 17 of 35. Really what they care about is what is my total need and give me the amount of money. And I'm good.
Well, the part of the problem is we're carrying an increasing legacy as we continue the calculations all through all now close to 5 years.
Yeah.
And so until we reach that point where everybody's, where either all of the historical money is reallocated and or we're whole and it's point forward, we almost end up carrying this legacy for full transparency, as complicated as it is, so that people at home feel they're not getting shafted in some way. And so the model only continues unless we just start dropping off a bunch of stuff to get more complicated each year until we reach the what I would call the starting line.
Yeah.
We're not at the starting line yet.
Yeah, good point.
Okay. But I don't think it's a premature conversation.
I think it is, because I don't think we can decide today what it should look like. I think it's going to take a group smaller than this. Maybe that,
you know, if we were fully funded point forward, WAFM is not hard.
Yeah.
Really isn't. But again, we're carrying all this increasing historical legacy, trying to show people where we started from and why we've done what we've done, with all these multiple columns of you know, the new money and then what happened to the old money and then how was it reallocated and based from the base year, and it's just the spreadsheets just keep going like this.
But would there be a way to get back to the point I think Sherry made and just say, okay, but now that's where we started, but now it's here where we are. So let's at least figure out the way to present it now and use that as a starting point to see how we then simplify. We don't know what to present until we know where we are. So I think, and Sherry, I like what you said about we can now say we finished, whether it be the first of another stage or whether or not we finished that stage, it gets us to a point where we have definite numbers that we can report. And it'll show you where that's taken us over the past 5 years. There's an issue of the historical base. There's a whole bunch of different things that we could factor into that to talk about it. But I think we need to be able to say accurately, after 5 years of WAFM, here's where we are.
Until we quit talking about historical, I don't know how we ever break the cycle.
That's right.
Because everybody's going to go back to the historical. And I think it's just the hell we've put ourselves in with a multi-year plan to basically divvy up an inadequate pie.
So, when you say that, though, do you think that it's possible to talk about it before 100% of
no.
roll out? You know, okay.
No, because we always go back to the history. We end up going back to that historical year. I mean, locally, that's where all of our analysis rolls back to, because we know that that's still the pot out there that's being
compared to.
Yeah. So.
They have.
So does that give you, I think, so do we have an agreement as to, for as a discussion, how we, at the next meeting, talk about how we?
I think it's premature to talk about it at this point. I mean, does anybody disagree? Unless you tag it on to what happened to WAFM year six and beyond, we could tag it to that particular item.
That makes where it makes sense, because
right.
now historical funding is moot, and we should create something in mind that's easy for people to understand.
But is it moot, Sherry? Because if we've only allocated
74%,
we still got 26% to go.
Well,
so we still have to keep that number active until we figure out what to do with that 26%.
Unless different decisions are made. So, for
example,
the historical is important because of the dollar-for-dollar match. I'm looking at the people that do the numbers. You know, maybe it's not a dollar-for-dollar match anymore. So now you've got a new base, and maybe the allocation is, I'm making this up as I go along, but if you don't need to tag it to anything, you don't do the adds and subtracts anymore.
I would agree, as long as if you're going to change the conditions under which monies are allocated
exactly.
and reallocated, yeah, that may well make it moot. But right now, under the current scenario, we're still wedded to that.
But after the fifth year, I think what our job should be after the fifth year, or next year, I guess, we start talking about what should it look like, and not necessarily, it may not necessarily look like what it looks like today.
I agree.
So we'll tag it to that particular item and carry it forward. But that being said, because there's been so much confusion, your materials included a completely refreshed set of everything. Just so it's the right.
The spreadsheets just keep getting longer and longer.
147 columns.
I know.
Did you count them?
I did. That's crazy.
That's terrible.
But you clearly have time on your hands, Jeff.
Well, actually, it didn't take too long.
Oh, are they labeled?
Yeah. No, yeah, they're not labeled.
No, he's got chicken scratch here where he was adding them up, you know, those things like that.
So, unless
it follows in, I mean, it's still in sequence if you go through it. Right. I mean, I've tried to explain that to judges before, and about
it's just explaining it.
About
it's the
50,
glaze that comes
50 second column, they just say, where do we start? Where are we going to
what's our number?
That's
what's
it.
The number?
I don't
and
to
I'm
talk
glad
about
you know.
I make my own up.
Yeah. So this is tomorrow. Yeah. So we'll all be in the room tomorrow for pickback. I appreciate everybody putting in the work they put in today. We're adjourning a little bit early today. So thank you very much. As I said, this is, I mean, I'm going to explain to the TICMAC meeting tomorrow, but the TICMAC agenda itself is not that full, but there's a lot of us in town for this. There's an interpreter working group meeting tomorrow morning. There's FPS tomorrow afternoon. A lot of things are bringing us to the town anyway, so I look forward to an equally lively discussion of TICMAC tomorrow. Welcome to you all here. I don't know who's going home, who's staying.
I'm at the cell block, so.
Yeah.
Don't you live here now again?
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll see you at TICMAC tomorrow morning.
I'll be here by phone tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. I know there's some people are traveling back.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you and goodbye.